Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Maika Sanderson, and I'm a child nutrition policy analyst at the Food Research and Action Center, also known as FRAC. I'm excited to welcome you all to FRAC's Breakfast Matters series. Through this series, if this is your first time joining us, we host a call or a webinar each month just to discuss topics that relate to improving the reach of the school breakfast program. So today, or for this month in June, we'll be talking about how to successfully frame your breakfast work in the media. As we all know, when launching an alternative breakfast service model in a school or in an entire district, it often attracts quite a bit of attention, and it's really important to make sure that you are proactively thinking about how you're going to frame that work, just so that you can, one, amplify the message and get the word out and really boost your participation rates as much as possible. And, of course, to ensure that when you are getting media coverage or press, that it is positive. So today I'd like to remind you that the call is being recorded. Additionally, please refrain from putting the call on hold. We will hear the music. And in addition, I've currently put the call in listen-only mode, so we're going to hold all Q&A until the end, in which you are able to pose your question to any of our three gracious speakers that have kindly decided to share some really great info with us today. So today we are joined by Michelle Ray, the Director of Communications at the Hunger Free Colorado. And we also have on the line Allison Castle, who's an account manager at BRG Communications Firm. And then finally, but certainly not least, we have Joanne Tucker, the Food Services Marketing Coordinator at San Diego Unified School District in California. So I am going to pass it off to Michelle, who will give a little bit of an introduction of herself and then share her experiences with effectively messaging breakfast work. Michelle?
Hello, everyone, or good afternoon, I guess, depending on what time zone you're in. But as you stated, I am with Hunger Free Colorado. I've been with the organization for 3 years, and school breakfast has definitely been an area of focus for us. It started with passing statewide legislation to require all schools, basically high-poverty schools, to provide breakfast after the school day begins. And then we've also been involved in the implementation process. So as part of that, we were part of a coalition and continue to be around this to ensure that breakfast after the bell remains successful. And so before kind of diving into effective messages and media relations, I definitely would start with kind of what we did as a coalition, and then I'd say organizationally too, is identifying what your communication goals are around breakfast after the bell. And in this case, the ones we kind of picked out as our top ones that we're kind of utilizing now, so after the legislation has passed, but applies to legislation as well if you're looking at alternative breakfast models, is kind of just reinforcing the positive impacts and benefits. Recognizing food and nutrition service directors as well as schools and districts who are making the model work and that do have broad support. Busting common myths and then just growing awareness and cementing the support in communities and schools and for our case for the mandate that's in place. And one of the things that was also helpful for us as part of a coalition, if you are working with others, is setting up a shared drive to ensure everyone has access for like the important files. So one of the things I'll talk about next is creating and updating a messaging guide. This was a very important tool for our legislative process, but it's something that we actually have been updating annually thereafter. So it's still applicable year after year, and we do make it available to our key partners, especially those in the coalition. And so how we went about it is developing the messages is kind of looking at who our target audiences. So this, in our case, were legislators, teachers, principals, school administrators, parents, children. So, I mean, we looked at every audience And then looking at our state experience, so more so what kind of resonates locally, and then also looking at other market research and just seeing what's out there, kind of developed some of our key messages. And some of them we did, or what we've been utilizing, are very values-based. So, I mean, we talk about setting kids up for success by starting the day with school breakfast, that hungry kids cannot learn, that gives kids a chance for a healthier life and a better education. So we kind of looked at some messages that could kind of play, I guess, across the aisle and for people of different backgrounds, different experiences that may not hold the exact same views as us. So we did look at message development in that way. So we did craft a guide. So as part of this, we had our key messages. We had a Q&A. We identified some key spokespeople and included those in there, gave background on what we were doing and why this was important, and then it was made available to everyone. And one thing that I did not touch upon that was also important was including relevant data. So that way, in addition to the messages or having the spokespeople identified and having stories, that you do have the data to back up to support the case that you're trying to make. So that was important in helping us build our case, is identifying the data points that we needed and then adding those to this messaging guide. The next thing I would say that was important in the process for us as a coalition and then organizationally was creating a story bank and then cultivating spokespeople. So what we did was identify some champions. So this included food and nutrition service directors who have been successfully implementing Breakfast After the Bell in our state and are very supportive of it and have been able to do it. They can show the financial feasibility of it, the success of gaining broad support from principals to teachers, and then also the success of seeing improvements in their students in various ways. And then we also were able to identify some teachers and principals. We also had some parents and some students. And then obviously we had legislative support. And then we had experts who could speak to some of more of like the data points. So for example, we had a pediatrician that could talk about the health benefits for children, getting a good breakfast and getting it after the school day begins. The next step we did was kind of find out what their stories were. So we wanted to ask some questions, kind of vet them, see if it aligned with our goals, and I think that's definitely something important to think about is, do their messages, does their story really align with what you're trying to achieve? And that also gives you the opportunity, too, to see how comfortable are they sharing their story. What type of storyteller will they be? Are they better at writing a story? Would they make a great spokesperson talking with media? So we were then able to document some of these stories in various ways. Some were audio files. Others have been, like, in written form. Some are bullet points. Some are narratives. Again, it just kind of varies. And then from there, you can kind of decide then who might be a spokesperson with media. And some are definitely going to be ready to go and very comfortable. Others you may have to prep and go through kind of like an in-house media training or even outsource it depending on your budget. And another important piece would be to get photos too. So if there is a possibility, if you're doing a school breakfast visit, so even thinking now with the upcoming year, to see if there's a possibility to go out and take some photos of kids eating breakfast. And if there's not the ability to get release forms, there are ways you can take photos, obviously shooting from behind or getting close-up shots of their hands with food. Those have been very helpful for us in terms of sharing stories and then making some photos available for some media sources. But in terms of kind of developing a plan, identify who your target audiences are. So in our case, our primary ones were legislators, school districts, and parents and students. Then I would kind of develop like 3 to 5 key messages for each of those. And so again, we focused on the positive impacts and benefits, that schools are making it work with increased participation, and that there is broad support from principals all the way to the community. And so when we were looking at kind of building out with our media relations strategy, you need to consider, and something we did was kind of thinking what's timely, and then determining the time frame of when you want to reach out to media or launch your plan. And in this case, the time of year that we focus on is at the start of the school year, so setting kids, and you can tie to setting kids up for success. And then we've had a lot of success around National School Breakfast Week in March. So something that makes it more reasonable as well, because I know we're all have limited capacity and we have many other responsibilities probably in addition to doing this. So just be reasonable about what is manageable. So what we did is we kind of targeted key geographic areas. So we decided to focus on three areas, for example, and then we identified what schools in those areas have great stories to share. And then we are going to work with those schools specifically to get news coverage in those areas. So that is what worked out well for us, and it really allowed us to kind of zone in on maybe some areas where there isn't as strong a support, but there is some success happening in a nearby school district, or a food service director in that area may not be on board, but another one is. So it does kind of build the support and take away from maybe some of the negative attention, or try to even put a little pressure on that food service director to consider the success and the things that could happen if they implement breakfast after the bell. So we did work specific schools to highlight what they're doing, and then also helping them prep for the story or feel prepared. And we handle a lot of the coordination. And then we just kind of determined as well what channel. So we have media, but we also decided to share out stories via social media, newsletters, partner publications. And again, if you have limited capacity and you do get news coverage, you can just share out those news articles and or use a photo that they have or a photo that you took. But when working with media, one of the things I always recommend and something I've learned over time myself as well is just targeting specific reporters. A press release can be great and it has been useful for us, especially for statewide purposes, but if you can like find out specific reporters that you want to pitch to and you want to send and you want to tailor your pitch to them specifically, that can make a world of difference. So for example, we targeted an area, Colorado Springs and Pueblo in our state, and they're known to be a little more conservative. There is a food service director there at one school district that has not been as supportive of breakfast after the bell, but there is a nearby school district that has had massive success. So we worked with a TV station as well as an education reporter to get some positive coverage for that school district. So I did my homework. I researched the reporters. I got their contact information. I read their past stories. And then I kind of tailored my pitch specifically to them. And it really did help tying in. In our case, we did this around National School Breakfast Week. So we were able to get coverage on TV stations, online and print publications in our three target areas. And the other thing I just recommend if you are kind of utilizing media relations as part of your strategy is to really be responsive and helpful with reporters and make sure to thank them afterwards and share the story and tag them if you're doing it on social media such as Twitter, because that can make a difference in terms of cultivating a relationship that you're going to become the go-to expert for them in the future, that they're going to see that you really value what they're doing, and that by being responsive, they're going to know that you're someone that they can trust and that they know that you're going to get the information for them. So those are probably my big things to cover, unless there's anything else that I didn't address.
No, that was perfect, Michelle. Thank you. So now we're going to pass it off to Allison Castle. Allison?
Yes, hi, thank you. And thanks, Michelle. That's all really great information, and I'll likely elaborate on a few points that you made there. I'm very excited to be here today and to talk with all of you. My name is Allison, and I'm with BRG Communications, and we have been working with the Partners for Breakfast in the Classroom for nearly 5 years now and have launched that initiative specifically both nationally and in about 20 to 30 districts across the country. It really has been a fantastic media campaign, and we've seen really great success raising awareness about breakfast in the classroom, especially on the local level. And so today I'm just gonna give you a brief overview of a media timeline to put into place to keep it pretty easy and straightforward, just so that we know everyone's time is busy and keep it as simple as possible, because it can be somewhat overwhelming at first in terms of like deciding when to start to talk to media, how to do it, who to tell, and all those things. So when you begin to talk with media or announce the fact that you're going to be bringing this program into the district, just keep in mind that it's really your opportunity to tell a story about how the breakfast program will truly have an impact on the students and the community. It's, you know, really a time to create awareness about the issue and educate about the solution, which is the breakfast program. So in terms of timing on when, you know, are the best times to reach out to media and what's feasible, we kind of look at it as a two-phase approach. One is starting that the announcement with an announcement that the breakfast program will be coming to your community and your school district. We recommend distributing a press release because it allows you to control the message. And then secondly, as part of this approach, we like to showcase the implementation and really show the program in action. And we recommend to host an event to help bring that phase to life. And then additionally, of course, like Michelle talked about, it's very important to kind of keep that relationship going. And instead of just kind of stopping after you've made that initial announcement, I'll touch on certain times of the year that really keep up the momentum and are ways that you can keep that relationship going with media. So starting with the announcement, we would recommend distributing a press release when you begin the implementation of the breakfast program. And I mean, this can happen the week the program begins, or, you know, it can happen 3 to 4 weeks afterwards. And even, I mean, for example, like we're in summer months now, so you know a new program starting the new school year. You could even put out a press release, you know, end of the summer or the first few weeks of the school year. And then, of course, you can repurpose that content with a newsletter and social media channels. And when you're sending out the press release, it's your time to reach out to those specific reporters, like the health reporters and education reporters at TV broadcast stations, print, radio, everyone that you feel like would really care about this in your local community. So I guess just in terms of press release, kind of what that looks like and what translates well with media, of course, the headline should be pretty brief and to the point. And anytime you can keep it really local and include very specific impact numbers resonates really well. I mean, we typically like to include like the number of students benefiting in the district, number of schools, why the district needs to start implementing this program, again, touching on the issue, and then a quote from your spokesperson, which Michelle did a great job explaining the different types of stakeholders that could serve as a spokesperson, anyone from a superintendent, food service director, teacher, anyone that's truly been an advocate and seen this program and built it from ground up and can talk to media about the impact and the benefits. So that is kind of a recap of phase one, just getting the word out there, creating this buzz, letting everyone know that this program is truly going to have an impact on the community and that it's there for them. And then secondly, as I mentioned, is hosting a media event, and this is just a time to showcase not only to media but to local stakeholders the program in action. And just seeing it firsthand is really translates well into, yes, you can read a press release and you can read everything good or bad about the program, but just having the opportunity to see it firsthand truly does have an impact on people, and it just brings it all to life. So in terms of an event, we have typically had them at a local school that has been very well received and has efficiently been able to implement the program. So it's kind of creating a moment in time to bring local officials and media into the school and experience the program firsthand. And in terms of timing for an event, you know, typically it's 3 to 4 weeks after the program begins, but it could be 3 to 4 months later or a year later. Anytime you feel like this program has really taken off and we have great things to show and everyone, you know, is benefiting and loving it. So just any time that's feasible for you all and calendars. So It's flexible in that sense. So kind of once you have a location and time set, you invite local VIPs to the events as well as media. So everyone comes together and gets to see it firsthand. And it's really great because each school and each district has a chance to kind of put their own spin on it. They can make it formal or informal. One of a highlight of an event we've done in the past was in Kansas City, and their cheerleading team made up like a whole song about breakfast in the classroom, and it rhymed, and then the kids that were delivering the actual breakfast into the classroom were wearing football jerseys, and so like it was a school-wide celebration, and the media filmed it and talked to certain students about it, so it was really great to see everyone come together and see everyone's hard work pay off. And then also, you know, if creativity isn't your strong suit, then there's always a chance to just have speaking remarks, a short, you know, have stakeholders say a few words on the impact and their role in making this happen, and then having the chance to talk with them, and again, media will still be able to see everything happen. So an event is really just a celebration and time for people to come together, and resonates really well with media. So that's kind of the second step. But then again, as I mentioned, and as Michelle touched on, it's really important to keep the relationship with media really close and ongoing. You don't want to just, you know, send them a press release and invite them to an event and then that's it. Like, sustaining that relationship and cultivating that contact is really important. So there's different ways you can stay in contact with media throughout the year. One is to acknowledge certain holidays and observances like Hunger Action Month, National School Breakfast Week. This month is National Dairy Month. There's always a way to tie it back to breakfast. And so it's just a time for you to reach out to them, send general background information, even invite them out again if some time has passed, and just keep that engagement. And then another way is identifying a success story. So if an educator or principal specifically notices a student or classroom that has really overcome an obstacle or has had a very positive experience with the program, you're able to send that story and kind of package it up to media. They love seeing success stories, and it's another way to help them really understand the impact of it. And you can even offer them to talk with that specific individual or teacher. And then another way to keep them engaged and in constant communication is if the program reaches specific milestones with you're seeing increased participation, better overall attendance, improved test scores, anything that translates directly to the implementation of the program is something that media love to see. And again, it just showcases the specific benefit in the community. So those are a few ways to kind of keep up that media momentum after the initial announcement and possibly after the event has been held. So just to recap, you know, you want to keep it as simple as you can and start with an announcement and follow it up with showing them how it works and the implementation. And then just keeping in contact with them through these media moments in time, and then it creates a news hook for you. Just with that overall objective of creating awareness about the issue and educating them about the solution, which is the breakfast program. So yeah, I guess with that said, I will turn it over to Joanne.
Okay, am I on?
Yes, I think so.
You are. You're on.
Okay, good. Hi, this is Joanne Tucker, and I'm from San Diego Unified School District, and I'm the Food Services Marketing Coordinator. And I wanted to just give you a brief overview of our district. We have about 200 district schools, and we have about 300 sites that our department serves food to. We have breakfast in the classroom in 62 schools, and we serve about 32,000 meals in breakfast in the classroom on a daily basis. So we've been at this for a while, and we started about 10 years ago, and we started slowly. We started with one school, with an understanding principle, and we got through the initial fits and starts of this program with the help of the entire school community, and then we just started growing and growing, and we've had a number of different media activities through the years. The media loves breakfast in the classroom. We do breakfast models in other schools as well, but the breakfast in the classroom is the one that is one of the largest in our district. The most important thing that I want to really bring home is that people need to really understand the message that we've got and embrace the message. And we need to put the child first in all of our messaging. School food people have a tendency to think quietly that their role in life is to serve healthy food to school children. And that's true. It is important, and that's what we do. But what you need to do is become a marketing expert, and you need to act like a diplomat, and you need to think bigger. You need to realize that breakfast, of course, is the most important meal of the day, and it's a really important component of a child's success, that it fuels the brain and the body, and it allows children to fully participate in the learning process and have the energy to meet all the physical and mental demands of the day. And the food service department is part and parcel with the success of a child at school. So when we start this process and we start reaching out to the various stakeholders with this message that we have, that we're doing this for the child and for the school community, we have different ways that we address the various stakeholders. And we do go to the Board of Education and the superintendent and the principals. And the message to them is that the program is good for our students and will improve attendance and raise test scores. They like to hear things like that. To the parents, we send letters home to the parents. We also meet with them in PTA meetings and school meetings. And the message to them is that it will ease the morning rush. It will ensure that their child is well nourished and ready to learn. And it also eliminates the cost to them to have to prepare the meals at home. To the teachers, the program gives their students the fuel and energy that they need in the morning to focus on what's being taught and to actively participate in the classroom discussions. It eliminates the mid-morning crashes and class disruptions due to low blood sugar and that type of thing. And it can be accomplished easily in the first few minutes of the school day. To nurses, certainly it's fewer trips to the nurse's office for headaches and stomach aches due to little empty tummies. We also take very careful time to talk to the custodians in the school because this affects them as well. We fully explain the program to them. We get them on board, and they become an effective ally rather than somebody who's saying, "What are you doing in my classroom?" We present effective trash removal plans, and we also point out that they don't have to clean the lunch arbor after the old method of school breakfast. Now, to students, we talk to the students too. To the students, this is an adventure. This is a great way to be together. They have a communal meal. They can use their good manners. They get a good breakfast, and they also are able to take some responsibility to help their fellow students and to keep the classroom clean. And we talk to food service employees too. The food service employees, the message is that they are part of the school community because they have an important role in the teaching and learning process by creating this new breakfast model. So to the community at large, and whenever we have a media event, we share with them that this program is a win-win-win for all stakeholders. And that's a very important message to have, that we've considered everybody in the program. And then when we talk to other food service departments around the country, which we have on numerous occasions, we point out that it is a win-win for all the stakeholders, plus it strengthens the financial base of the food services department, and that's really important. So the strategy for the media event itself is pick a school with a supportive principal. That's really very important. That was pointed out before. Have that principal select two or three teachers that are of grades 3, 4, or 5. We found the K through 2 grades are not really good when a microphone is poked in their face. And sometimes, you know, one time we had a teacher that initially balked at the idea of breakfast in the classroom. And later, after it was implemented, she saw that the importance of having the students be able to focus on the learning process, and she did a complete 180. The teachers can get the media releases for the kids, and when the media then comes into the classroom, there can be a table off to one side of the children who don't have media releases, and the media can know then that they can go into the classroom and take pictures and talk to kids. And they like that pre-planning aspect. That's very important to do. We also talk to the kids about the media. We go into the classrooms that have been selected and we say, this is what they're going to ask you, and be honest with them and talk to them and tell them what this program means to you. And so we give them a little bit of background. When you write your media release, be very clear about the information and the purpose of how you feel about this program. And then describe what type of media activity they may have. So tell them that they can go into the classroom and talk to kids. Tell them that a local dignitary is going to be available to interview. Tell them that you're going to sample some of the foods that the kids get in breakfast in the classroom. Describe this to them so that they can say, hey, this sounds neat, we'll come. You need to create a media packet as well. And in the media packet, give them all the nuts and bolts of this program, from your clear goal and purpose to, if you have a brochure or flyer about the program, which we developed a brochure, include that. Include recent studies and the backup data of why breakfast is important. We all know all the things that are important for breakfast. But they need to see that this is valid studies have been done all over the United States showing that breakfast is really important and what it does. Give some good statistics about your program. For example, our first program that we went into, it was a big school. It was an elementary school of 950 kids, and we only had 180 of them originally eating breakfast. And after the first day, it jumped up to over 900. And so give some statistics. And then just talk about, you know, it's going to mean higher test scores. It's going to result in better attendance and lower tardy rates and better participation of students in the learning process and fewer disruptions in class. All of those things are really key issues. Develop a timeline for the media. They may want to start in the kitchen and watch the bags being packed. They can follow the child pulling the bag to the classroom. All of these are little media shots that they can take. They can show the child setting up the breakfast in the classroom, and then the kids coming in and getting their breakfast and sitting down and eating. Show how trash is removed. we purchase and supply trash bags, trash cans that have dollies on it, so that the kids, they can wheel the trash out of the classroom, and we have a rule that says no food is left in the classroom. So everything goes out, the bags are returned to the kitchen, the trash is removed and put into a central location, so the custodian only has to go to one area to empty all the trash bags. And then make sure that you have good people around to interview, the superintendent or a board member, certainly the food services director, other dignitaries, the principal, teachers. Have parents there. They love to talk to parents. Well, what does this mean to you? And they tell you it's just fabulous or wonderful. And then certainly the students. We've had football players. We've had local congressmen. We've had the West Coast division head of the USDA. We've had the California Food Policy Advocates, the head of that organization, be there. We've had a number of different types of things, media likes variety, and their bent is always a little bit different. They like the idea that they're getting to talk to somebody important, but then they're right there with the kids. They love kids. They love food. And that's the last thing I wanted to say is that, you know, afterwards, when they are out of the classroom and they're in talking and interviewing the dignitaries, give them samples of some of the foods. Give them coffee and juice, but have a whole array of the food that is served in your program. They love to see what it is, and that's very hands-on. And then get it out in your social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And we have a food services app that we can send push notifications on. Get it out everywhere you can and get your message out. So that's basically the synopsis of what we do in our school district. And, you know, when we talk to other school districts, we are very, very happy to share resources. And it helped that our state superintendent came on board with Breakfast in the Classroom and stated that these first 10 minutes of the school day are, in fact, part of the teaching day, teaching minutes in the classroom. This made a big difference to the unions. It also helped when our district superintendent embraced the program and said all schools that are Provision 2 schools will implement Breakfast in the Classroom. So we've had a very successful run of this, but it's a program that requires a great deal of follow-through and effort, and we have a full-time breakfast specialist on board. He does other things as well, but he focuses in on Breakfast in the Classroom and is a good troubleshooter. So he talks to the media, he talks to parents, he talks to principals, he talks to the board. Key people like this are important for the continuation of this program.
Thank you, Joanne. That was great. And so at this time, I'm going to take the line off of listen mode and we'll enter our Q&A session.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
So if you have a question and you're on the line, please feel free to just introduce yourself and present your question. So I have a question in case folks are a little afraid to speak up on the line. Michelle, I know that you talked a bit about identifying champions and making sure to include relevant data. Can you tell folks what are some of the key pieces of data that you should be sharing when talking about their business?
Yeah, I have our message guide in front of me. Sorry, sounding really choppy.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to hear you. Try again.
Okay, is that better? I feel like now it's not.
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, so in our coalition, we worked with another organization that focuses on child poverty. So we had some good child poverty and food insecurity data for Colorado. But then we also looked at some national data. So there was some from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that was showing the effects on poverty, how it affects children's health. So there are some key data points. I guess if anyone's interested in knowing more and seeing if I could share the messaging guide, I'm more than happy, or I don't know if there's follow-up, to send that to them, because we had a lot of different data points. I mean, there was data related to food insecurity and how it links to obesity for children, how the difference is of other schools and school districts and the success they've had, and the difference from traditional breakfast versus after the bell and the benefits. We also just used data as well from some of the schools and school districts that what they provided us. So if they saw improved student behavior or increased participation, we had those data points that we could use as well. But I'm happy to share more information offline with anyone who's interested.
That's perfect. What you can do, Michelle, is you can shoot that message guide over to me, and then I can make sure to include it as a part of the follow-up materials.
Okay.
Perfect.
Sure.
And then I wanted to kick a question to Allison. Would you be able, coming from the communication side of things, from your firm, can you talk a little bit about what an in-house media training could look like? I know that Joanne touched a little bit about how she prepares teachers and students, and then Michelle had kind of brought up the idea of an in-house training, but would love to hear maybe just a quick overview of the critical components of media training for those of us who aren't as familiar.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so once you kind of identify those champions and determine who will be your spokesperson, a lot of the training goes into the messages that you want to convey. So we do like to look at it in terms of the issue and solution. So the issue being those data points that Michelle relayed, and then the solution is talking about the benefits of the program and how it specifically is able to help kind of solve that problem, not directly, but indirectly, if you will. And so there's various components, and we kind of go through some different interview tactics, like repeating the question back or summarizing your answer afterwards, keeping it short, depending on, you know, if you're talking to broadcast, if you're there in studio, it's obviously a little bit different in terms of mannerisms. We'll obviously be seen by everyone. And then, you know, there's also different ways to talk with live radio and print as well. So we kind of go through the various components, but then we also for each type of media. And then also, of course, set aside time for those tough Q&As, if you will, and make sure that the spokesperson is prepared for any and all questions that could be asked, positive, negative, neutral, everything in between.
Got ya. And then you had touched on a little bit of having a news hook, which is related to kind of seasonality. So
mm-hmm.
You called out a couple of times during the year. Are you familiar with what months or times like Hunger Action Month is, National Dairy Month, that you could kind of stay on the line? Or if not, I can just send it in follow-up materials.
Yeah, no, actually, I have like here in front of me of specific ones. So just to back up and clarify, yeah, it's always great to have what we call a quote-unquote news hook or timeliness to anytime you're talking with media, because that's what they gravitate towards. So that's why anytime you're talking with them, you want to have some type of you need to cover it now and this is why. So that's why when you start to implement the program, the closer you can do it to the time that it's taking place, the better, because otherwise it becomes old news and no media like that. But so National Dairy Month is actually June. National School Breakfast Week is usually around like the first or second week of March. February is National Hot Breakfast Month. There's September, there's Whole Grains Month and All American Breakfast Month. There's almost like a an observance every week or every month that could directly be tied. In October, there's Family Health Month and World Egg Day, National Oatmeal in January. So, there's definitely key moments in time that could translate whether it's nutrition, and health, exercise, all that can somehow be related back to the program. So I'm happy to share a further list, but I just rattled off a few there.
That's perfect. And I'll grab that extensive list. I wasn't even aware of some of those that you've called out.
I know, there's some obscure ones, but it works, so.
Hey, do what works. I'm behind that. So we'll send that out to all participants in the follow-up materials. And then I just want to make sure I'm not hogging the line. Are there any questions on the line?
I had a question for Joanne.
Yes.
Ms. Joanne, you were discussing breakfast in the classroom, and we've implemented that within our school system in our kindergarten school this school year, actually, for the last month of the school year, just as a pilot to get started. How did you handle waste items? Did you do your breakfast in the classroom, or do you do those as offer versus serve? We've had a lot of complaints with waste of food products.
Well, that's a good question. And, there are a number of different techniques. Now, we do breakfast. We do offer versus serve, and the food is set up. And so what is indicated to on a little list that goes with the bag is the items that are required to be taken. As you know, they have to take 3 items, and some of the items are like worth two grains and things like that. So they have to take 2, and they don't have to take the other items. So if they don't take the other items, they can be reused if they're not a hot food item. For example, a box of raisins or a package of sliced apples or a carton of juice. We leave the juice and the milk inside the bag, and the bag is insulated. So when it's taken back to the kitchen, then they check the temperatures and they were able to reuse some of the things. If it's out of temperature, they don't reuse it. It's the offer versus serve is the only way to do this at this point, with the new breakfast regulations requiring 2 servings of fruit to be offered. And it's a lot of waste if you give the child the 2 servings of fruit, because chances are they aren't going to take it on their own. So if they are offered it, then they can take the choice of just whichever fruit they want to take. And, you know, if there are other small issues or other issues like that, you can always contact us directly, and we can take you through some of the solutions that we've come up with, and we'd be happy to share anything with you.
Thanks, Joanne. And caller, if you send me an email at M as in Michael Sanderson at frac.org, I can get you connected with Joanne at San Diego Unified. So we have just a few minutes left in the call. So before I close up, I just wanted to kick a question to you, Joanne. Maybe in 2 or 3 minutes, if you could share about the event that you did with the Chargers and how you were able to kind of partner up with Fuel Up to Play 360, to kind of amplify that media event. I think that was a really great way of kind of getting more attention to that event and attracting more press. So I don't know if you can give a quick
overview. Try to do a real quick overview. That actually came through the combination of the California Food Policy Advocates and the California Department of Education. They had a Breakfast First campaign, and they wanted to launch it at a Breakfast in the Classroom program, and they called us and asked if they could do it. And that coincided with an effort that we had had ongoing with the NFL and the San Diego Chargers and the Dairy Council of California. And what we were doing was designing placemats for the Breakfast in the Classroom program, and the NFL that program donated $15,000 toward that effort. So at that activity, we had the Western Regional Head of the USDA, we had key people from California Food Policy Advocates, we had a San Diego Charger. They all went into the classroom. The kids were wowed by the Charger, not by the other ones. And they all were able to speak very clearly and very succinctly about the importance of this program. And when you combine the two, when you have somebody who's a wow and somebody who's a VIP, it really enhances it. And the photo op was the Charger in uniform having one of those big, huge, giant checks given to us. So that was a lot of fun, and the kids were there, and everybody was there.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing, Joanne. So to just wrap up, first I want to thank our amazing speakers. Thank you, Michelle, Allison, and Joanne. You all shared a lot of really great information about how to effectively message breakfast work in the media. And in addition, I wanted to share with callers that on the FRAC website, on frac.org/breakfast, you would be able to find the Breakfast for Learning fact sheet, which is another great resource for connecting the healthy benefits of having breakfast to academic success for children. So that's something that you can pull from for your press releases or maybe media releases that you are trying to push to local news channels and or papers. Or just letters that you're releasing to parents. If you have any questions or wanted to be connected with any of the speakers, feel free to reach out to me. Again, my email address is msanderson@frac.org. And I wanted to thank you all for joining the call today. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Bye.